Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, we got to start with Doge today. We got to do the Doge rundown that President Trump spelled out in his speech on Tuesday night. I meant to get to it in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, but you know how it goes. One thing leads to another. We get some great phone calls. We start covering, you know, a million different topics, and I never played the full Trump rundown as he listed just some of the outrageous spending that's been taking place here. So I'm going to get to that here first thing here in just a few minutes, and then man, I'm just looking through all sorts of news coming out of the Montana legislature, some interesting stuff here going on. I'm more hopeful now that one key judicial reform bill will get through the legislature. If you guys, you know, heard our Monday morning update with Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana, and then we had, some other lawmakers on it kind of throughout the week as well, but I was so disappointed because it's like, are you kidding me? You had a few Republicans in the Montana House that couldn't even support a bill to allow judicial candidates to run with a party affiliation. Because we know that we've got extremely partisan elections right now. Actually, it's even worse than that. It's not even partisan elections that have taken place in our Montana Supreme Court, for example. It's out-of-state, Democrat, dark money, mega donors that are buying these Supreme Court seats, by and large. That's what's happening. Somebody called it, I think this was a great representative. Let me see. I think I kept the article in front of me here. This was an article by Blair Miller at the Helena IR that came out a few days ago, actually. And there was a great point that was made here by, I know his last name is Overstreet. Yeah, here we go. Representative Greg Overstreet out of Stevensville. He told the House chamber that he believes that dark money groups who were behind hundreds of thousands of dollars spent in Supreme Court elections were the Copper Kings 2.0 and deciding Montana's judicial elections. He's exactly right. The Democrats and the leftists, and by the leftists, I mean the media, they always say, oh, it's the modern-day Copper Kings. They're the modern-day Copper Kings. They're the ones that are buying off these Supreme Court justices here in Montana, Planned Parenthood, Democrat Party mega donors that are funding, all of their efforts. And so allowing party affiliation would break up the Democrat Party out-of-state mega donors. And that's why the Democrats are resisting every effort. But it was so frustrating to see you had a handful of House Republicans voted against a bill to even allow judicial candidates to have a political party affiliation on the ballot. But I did see some comments here in the same piece by Representative Steve Fitzpatrick. He's a smart guy out of Great Falls, and I think the moderates listen to him as well. He's going to have a bill that will at least go and start with the Supreme Court elections here in Montana and allow for the partisan affiliation there. That's the most important, of course, is the Supreme Court and then the district judge as well. We'll get those guys squared away here eventually, too.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some periods of light snow through the day today, otherwise staying with cloudy skies. Accumulations generally at an inch or less around the region. High temperature readings from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect some snow showers early on as temperatures will then head back in the mid-teens to around 20. And then we'll see some sunshine return to the area Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The Trump administration focus on border security continues, as does the progress. Border czar Tom Homan telling Fox's The Story with Martha McCallum, illegal crossings are now down 97%.
But we need more money to make that permanent, get it down to 100%, have zero gotaways.
Homan says there are other things funding is needed for as well.
We got a massive deportation operation we got to run. We need more beds. We need more airplane flights. We need more officers. And look, we got 300,000 missing children we got to find.
He also pushed back against sanctuary cities that have blocked ICE's attempts to locate and remove some migrants from communities, citing priorities he doesn't believe should be in question.
Prioritize the worst of the worst. Prioritize public safety threats. Prioritize national security threats. This should be a nonpartisan issue.
The mayors of several sanctuary cities testifying before the House Oversight Committee Wednesday. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
As the DOGE team goes agency by agency, highlighting waste, fraud, and abuse in federal government spending, a University of Montana program was mentioned by name in a video shared by the Pentagon spokesman. We've got that story and the reaction from the University of Montana. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the breaking news we first broke right at MontanaTalks.com, 17 illegal aliens busted at a job site in Big Fork, Montana.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get right into the DOGE report. By the way, funny sidebar, apparently CNN and I think one other liberal news outlet tried to do a fact check. Not just that they tried to do a fact check. If they were trying, they might have actually gotten it right. They weren't trying to do a fact check. They were trying to claim that Donald Trump was just making stuff up. They were trying to claim that Donald Trump was lying. When he talked about the transgender mice. Yes, the transgender mice. I wonder if the radical lawmaker from Missoula, I wonder if he's got a bunch of pet mice back there in Missoula. This was a big story like 2 weeks ago. Breitbart had the rundown where the Biden regime, let me correct that, the Joe Biden John Tester regime, because you Montana Democrats need to be reminded that you guys were a part of this. Don't just blame Joe Biden and National Democrats. Montana Democrats are with the transgender mice every step of the way. So they CNN tried to claim, oh, Donald Trump said that the government was funding transgender mice studies. They were experimenting on mice. They tried to fact check him and call it false. And then CNN, I think Politico had to do. Who else had to do it? I know CNN had to do it. They had to be like, we're going to make a correction to that fact check. And so anyway, bear that in mind as you now listen to President Donald J. Trump give the rundown of just some of the wasteful spending of your money that DOGE has shut down already. And by the way, hat tip to Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA. He shared a great video on X. I marked this in my audio transcript as well when I was watching the speech live, because I was like, oh man, we got to play this one on the radio.
Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender. This is real. $32 million for a left-wing propaganda operation in Moldova. $10 million for male circumcision in Mozambique. $20 million for the Arab Sesame Street in the Middle East. It's a program. $20 million for a program. $1.9 billion to recently created Decarbonization of Homes Committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her? A $3.5 million consulting contract for lavish fish monitoring. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $59 million for illegal alien hotel rooms in New York City. He's a real estate developer. He's done very well. $250,000 to increase vegan local climate action innovation in Zambia. $42 million for social and behavior change in Uganda. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well with learning. You know what we're doing. Should use it ourselves. And $101 million for DEI contracts at the Department of Education, the most ever paid, nothing even like it. Under the Trump administration, all of these scams, and they're far worse, but I didn't think it was appropriate to talk about them. They're so bad. Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people, headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it.
All right, there you go. That was a part of the rundown there. Did that one include the transgender mice? I was listening to it, but I was also reading a couple of other things, because as I was listening to that, I was like, man, I need to create a transcript of that audio so I can read all of the dollar amounts, because I think I heard $48 million here, $16 million there, $58 million here. We could get the cattle auctioneer thing going here in a second. And I'm like, man, how many St. Mary's irrigation projects could we pay for? With all the wasteful, they're funding vegan programs over in Africa. They're chopping body parts off over in Africa. With all this money that could have paid for all of the upgrades on the St. Mary's Irrigation Project back here in Montana, the lifeline of the High Line. Hey, this is kind of a funny one, by the way. I mentioned CNN had to do a fact check on their fact check because their fact check was wrong. And yes, the federal government was spending money to make mice transgender, so they could study the effects of what they want to do to kids. Really funny piece here by Glenn Woods out of Wyoming. Trump fires half of U.S. cattle guards. Apparently some people were freaking out on the internet because word got around that Donald Trump was firing the cattle guards. And of course it was a joke. But the people, you know, that don't understand Western issues don't realize that cattle guards are like little grates in the road. They're not actually people guarding the roads from the cattle.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The House and Senate have now passed similar frameworks to advance President Trump's legislative agenda of slashing spending and renewing his tax cuts. Those are different frameworks, so the House and Senate must still line up. The House finally approved its framework on a nail-biter of a vote. One Republican, Thomas Massey of Kentucky, voted nay. Republicans were initially going to punt until they were able to cobble together the remaining votes. The Senate process was a little bit different. The GOP had the votes there, but Democrats were able to string things out in a session which bled through much of an overnight. Marathon voting sessions, often called a votorama in the Senate, present an opportunity for the party out of power to engineer challenging votes for the other side. They like to put the majority on the spot with tough votes. Democrats tried to trip up Republicans with votes on tax cuts. They even compelled compelled Republicans to weigh in on their support, or lack thereof, for Ukraine. But now the House and Senate must approve the same version of the framework, and that will take time before they eventually get to the underlying bill itself. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
How 529 plans can help you to save for college. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
Saving for college?
Each state has a 529 plan, at least one.
CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says these are state plans.
Remember, it's deductible on the state tax return. It's not deductible on the federal tax return.
Zellin says the rules and the amount you're allowed to put away are different for each state.
If you go to savingforcollege.com, there's a clickable map that has a list of all of the 529 plans.
And many do offer a tax deduction. Jenny Coselda, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, hey, this week, cowboy hats and cowboy boots are back on Capitol Hill. And this morning, our network's Lane Nordland shares more on a conversation he had with one Western rancher who's in our nation's capital, advocating for family ranchers.
Russell, it's another busy week in Washington, D.C., with multiple agriculture groups present on the Hill. One includes Montana Stock Growers Association President Leslie Robinson, who also serves as the vice chair of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Federal Lands Committee. While in Washington, D.C. this week, she spoke with elected officials from across the West, speaking up on behalf of ranchers who graze on federal land grazing allotments, saying that these hardworking ranching families should not be impeded by recent government layoffs.
The comments that we've made to the delegation is that we want to make sure that there aren't delays for turnout for the grazers on the federal lands, either Forest Service or BLM. And it seems like they are looking at what's been done and then bringing people back where needed. Another fluid thing that's happening right now.
Robinson also said it's critical for a farm bill to pass here in 2025 and for it to include provisions to help young and beginning ranchers make a go of it in the countryside. Back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lane. And to check out his entire conversation with Leslie Robinson, please visit our Western Ag Network YouTube channel. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hi, I'm Kevin Oxner, inviting you to join us Saturday, March 29th for our Pasture to Plate Performance Sale. We're offering a powerful set of Limflex and Limousine bulls and heifers, including our National Western Stock Show Champion Panda 3. These cattle combine cavities, growth, and carcass merit in a complete, structurally sound, and docile package. Learn more at ocattle.com and join us March 29th at 1 p.m. Mountain.
I'm Kara Ronan from Rody Farm, and I became a member of the Montana Farmers Union for the community and connections with other producers that create a strong network of farmers and ranchers who unite in the fight for family farms here in Montana. I really love being able to work with MFU, with my boots on the ground, to help steer policy not only locally here in Montana, but nationally as well.
Join us in supporting Montana family farms and ranches across the state of Montana. Learn more today at MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
Well, crop insurance will provide better risk protection for corn growers this year, which leaves farmers exposed to heavier losses on soybeans and supports ideas that producers could plant up to 94 million acres of corn here in 2025. Meanwhile, this year, the spring projected price for corn is $4.70 per bushel, up 4 cents from last year. Well, the soybean projected price is $10.54, $1.01 lower than a year ago. Projected prices for spring wheat are $6.55 per bushel, and that's 30 cents less than what we saw 1 year ago. And finally this morning, You know, every year, the American Lamb Board allocates funds through its cooperative funding program for local sheep producer groups, lamb suppliers, and direct marketers to help share marketing costs for promoting delicious American lamb. And ALB is currently accepting applications until April 30th. Funds will be allocated to applicants for marketing initiatives that focus on non-industry audiences and align with ALB's mission to increase awareness and demand for American lamb. For more details, visit lambboard.com. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, I think these might be some additional numbers here on some of the other wasteful spending that was identified by DOGE. Examples of observed improper payments below. This is likely being done at scale. In fact, I saw this while the president was giving the address to the joint session of Congress there the other night. Katie Miller, who used to work for Senator Steve Daines, she is married to Stephen Miller, who's just the rock solid advisor to President Donald J. Trump. I think he's currently the deputy chief of staff for the White House. Anyway, she tweeted this out, just some more numbers from DOGE and the wasteful spending that they've identified here. After an order for expedited deportation was issued in 2017, a migrant from Honduras used three different Social Security numbers to submit 73 Medicare claims totaling $48,000. Medicare paid $49,000 for a rehab center for a person recorded dead for over a year. And again, that's your money. That's your money. Medicare paid $57,000 in 2020 for a person recorded to have died in 2006. After a warrant for her arrest was issued in 2019, a migrant from Colombia received three SBA loans for $100,000, and over $99,000 of that was forgiven. I would love to get more of the backstory on that one in particular, because I will guarantee you the reason her loans were forgiven was because she was a Latina. I guarantee you, you could be some, you know, redhead girl from Butte, you ain't getting that loan forgiven. But if you can check the Latina box, you get the loan forgiven. Here's one more from the list here. Migrant from Peru. See, because you have to try to use a Spanish accent whenever you say some of these names. You can't just say, oh, a migrant from Peru. You got to say, a migrant from Peru received a Social Security payments since at least 2007, with all benefit checks being mailed directly to Peru. Directly to Peru. So this has been happening since George W. Bush, Barack Hussein Obama, all the way through until DOGE finally stepped in on our behalf. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, man, I don't think I mentioned this one on the show yesterday. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke shared a Montana-specific example of this very thing happening as well. Right here in western Montana, we had a case of a woman still receiving Social Security payments years after her passing. Her granddaughter got nowhere trying to correct it with the Social Security Administration. She called our office, and we recouped $116,000. If it's happening here, it's happening everywhere. Montana Senator Steve Daines join us live right here in this 6 o'clock hour of the show with his reaction to President Trump's addressed to Congress on Tuesday night. And man, I thought what he had to say about Ukraine and about the mineral deal and how, you know, he and another guy were talking with President Trump, what, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago? And that's where this whole, you know, idea for a mineral deal with Ukraine came from. Thought that was pretty interesting. And then, you know, we had a great phone call from Nancy in Roundup yesterday at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, I think, and she said she had heard that Susan Rice had met with Zelensky before the Oval Office blow-up last last Friday, and so leading to speculation that Susan Rice, who was a top henchman for Obama and then Biden, that maybe she undermined the president of the United States to keep the war going and told Zelensky not to take the deal. We talked about Senator Chris Murphy and how he was undermining the deal ahead of that. But it sounds like everything's going to start getting right back on track, kind of like what I was saying would happen on Tuesday when we were talking about the whole Oval Office blow-up. But anyway, Senator Steve Daines also joined Fox Business later in the day yesterday and added this about what every day in Washington, D.C. is like right now with President Donald J. Trump. And I thought this was interesting. He was on Fox Business.
Well, just remarkable how fast this administration is moving. It feels like, you know, every hour here is a new day in the Trump world, how quickly they're getting results, dramatic results in terms of shutting down that southern border, going from 21 million illegals crossing under Biden's watch to the lowest level ever last February under Donald Trump's watch. So it's just fantastic to see the recruiting numbers in the military, record highs that we're seeing already. It's literally optimism returning to America. You can sense it. You can see it. And I'll tell you, it was demonstrated last night with I can't tell you how many times I had to get up and down to cheer from what President Trump was saying. But to look over at those Democrats sitting on their hands, scowling, even when they're touting the joy of a child who had brain cancer, talking about what's going on with that young man who went to West Point, could not get a single Democrat to stand up and
Yeah, all they could do was look out their window and scowl. Yelling at the kids on their lawn. That's the Democrats. Well, hey, how are your windows looking? Are they a little rough? Are they a little beat up? Could you use some new windows? Are you paying too much on your energy bills? Well, let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal going right now. 50% off your window purchase. Minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, right now, they've got easy financing. 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. It's a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase. Minimum of 4 windows. Here's the phone number, 406-948-2836. But if you're like me, you couldn't remember that phone number. So just go to YHIC.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, let's see. Where do we go next? What do we talk about next? So many different things we need to cover. Man, this 6 o'clock hour, it's kind of like another alibi hour. You know, like when you're on the when you're coming off the shooting range down at Fort Benning, Georgia. That's right. It's Fort Benning again. Then again, for most of us, it never stopped being Fort Benning just because Joe Biden wanted to, you know, screw up the country for 4 years. I mean, not that Fort Moore was a bad name. It's just like, come on, people. But anyway, you know, you get off the shooting range and they're like, all right, any alibis? Which means did anybody, you know, you were supposed to use up all the ammo out on the range. You're not supposed to hold on to any ammo and sneak it back to your barracks. So, all right, any alibis? There's a box over there. You can put the rounds in. You can put the brass in. And if you do it now, you won't get in trouble. Anyway, so this is kind of like some alibis, some stuff that I wanted to share with you yesterday. And for whatever reason, we didn't get time to get to it. Let's see. First, though, we got some messages that are coming in on the Montana Talks app. Andy and Whitefish. I can't read this on the radio, Andy. You've been hanging out with John Jackson a little too much, haven't you? We were talking about Zoe Zephyr and Dr. Fauci's transgender mice $1 million of funding, and I can't read that on the radio. Good night. Which reminds me, Jimmy Fallon, the former New York City cab driver who's got a stand-up comic who's got the Saturday Night Show on Fox News, he had a great tweet during the president's speech to Congress the other night. He says, Democrats won't clap for a little boy becoming a cop, but they would cheer if he became a girl. What a bunch of weirdo losers, Jimmy Failor wrote at the time. Let's see. Sam in Kalispell sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. I would like someone to do an interview with the 360-year-old Social Security recipient. I want to know their diet, their alcohol intake, smoking habits, and what makes them live so long. I guarantee you that you know how we find that Social Security recipient, Sam? I got to get a hold of Dr. Dale Williams down at Billings Last Diet. Whoever this 360-year-old is, they must have found Billings Last Diet and unlocked the key to true health. So we're going to have to ask Dale Williams if he can get an exclusive interview for us with the 360-year-old Social Security recipient. Dan Bongino, did you guys hear this? So a couple of days ago, Dan Bongino apparently revealed who will be taking over his show. Dan Bongino comes on the radio after us here on Montana Talks on KBUL Billings and KMMS Bozeman. And then I think KXDL Butte, you've got Clay and Buck right now. He revealed who is going to be taking over for his show. So maybe I'll get to that audio next. But first, let's go to Steve in Ballantyne on the phone line. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. Morning. Everything that the left, you know, did during the Trump speech, you know, and all the, you know, anyway, yesterday they announced that big fire in California that burned 9,000 homes. They're pinpointing it, they think, to the power company, so they're going to sue this power company. You know, they want to go electric. They want everything to be, you know, electric cars, electric stoves, electric everything, okay? So now they're going to sue the power company, and they won't allow these power companies to come in and trim the trees and take care of any vegetation in case the lines do come down, you know, give a buffer zone of a quarter mile around the freaking trees or the power lines, you know?
Yeah.
And now they're going to sue them. They're suing them for something that they want to convert to. They want everything to be electric, but we're going to sue them now. We're going to sue them, and the power company is going to go out of business. You know, they're just off their hinges, these people.
Yeah, I mean, they create the problem, and then they want to profit off the program, off the problem. I mean, this is what the left has been doing consistently time and time again. They create the problem, and they want to figure out a way to profit off the problem. Or instead of taking the blame for the problem, they cast blame on others. And, yeah, unfortunately, I mean, this is why there's a bill, I think it's House Bill 490 in the Montana legislature right now, that you've probably heard us talking about this. The Montana Electric Cooperatives Association is highlighting this because basically, just like what California is doing to power companies down there, the left will try to bankrupt your electric cooperatives in a similar fashion. You know, because like you could have a fire breakout, and let's say the electric cooperative said, hey, federal government, we want to cut down some trees near our power lines. Federal government says, nah, we're not going to let you cut down the trees near your power lines. Fire breaks out because the trees were too close to power lines. Federal government says, it's your fault. You're to blame. It was your power lines. Yeah, but we asked you if we could cut the trees. Doesn't matter. I mean, and then now your electricity bills could skyrocket because they're going to say, well, you know what? Hey, we can't insure your electric cooperative anymore. So that's what this bill, House Bill 490, and the legislature would do is basically protect against that type of nonsense and say, look, if they're not at fault, they're not at fault. So anyway, that's in fact, I got to check in with Ryan Hall and crew to see if they got back from Guatemala. We had a bunch of electric utility linemen down there turning the lights on for the first time for some folks down there in some remote villages. And then while we're at it, check in with him to see what the status is on House Bill 490 here, especially since the transmittal deadline is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the transmittal deadline in the Montana legislature. All right, here we go. So Dan Bongino on his show, or maybe this was on his podcast, he revealed who will now be taking over his program. And I saw a story in the Washington Examiner, but hey, rather than me try to pronounce the guy's name, let's have Dan Bongino say it in his own words. Silverlock on X shared this as well.
As you all know, you've probably heard it now 1,000 times over the, maybe more over the last few weeks. I will be leaving. My last show will be next week, March 14th. I will be taking over the deputy director position at the FBI. We brought on Haley. You met her yesterday. You're going to be seeing a lot more of her in the coming days. We have Evita's show at rumble.com/Evita. And taking over my show for the podcast is going to have a significant role in radio, too. Is going to be my good friend from WMAL, my friend Vince Colonese. He is fantastic. I promise you, I only bring you the best people. You are going to love him. A very, very, very smart guy, very intellectual show. I love Vince. He's been a good friend to me. You've heard him fill in on the radio show. I've gotten all your positive feedback. There is a method to my madness. I always intended on bringing on Vince as a talent, regardless, before I even knew about this spot. Now that Paul is going to be running the business, we thought, well, let's just move a little quicker than we were in the past. So there you go. Vince Colonese. Give him a follow. Here's how you spell the last name, you know, with us Italians. See, it's Coglianese, okay? It's pronounced Colonese, but Coglianese. And the show is going to be called, I got to say, by the way, this is my idea. I hope Vince was cool with it. The show is going to be called Vince. Why? What better way to brand it? Vince. It's kind of like Prince without the symbol. Remember? Where did I get that one? It's his first name. You didn't know. Haley, feel free to incorporate the guys in your show, by the way. They kind of just chime in anyway, so they just...
All right, anyway, yeah, there you go. Dan Bongino talking about his replacement. Now, I haven't seen, you know, just to be clear, I haven't seen anything official come down in terms of what our various affiliate radio stations are planning to do with their morning lineup. Right, if you know, Westwood One, I think, is who feeds out Bongino, if they're going to stick, you know, with Westwood One and stick with the replacement plan there, or go with something else. But anyway, that's the programming folks call to make, et cetera. So, yeah, but anyway, let's see. Oh, this is a big one. So I'm clearing through my show prep here. Earlier in the hour, you guys heard a news report. So the sanctuary city mayors, a few of these sanctuary city mayors, I know Boston was there. She was a train wreck. Who else was there? These sanctuary city mayors got lit up on Capitol Hill yesterday. Wow. Here these sanctuary cities were defending their policies. They literally put rapists and murderers back out onto the streets. Convicted. Not just alleged rapists and alleged murderers, convicted rapists and murderers were put back out on the streets by these Democrat mayors in these blue cities. And Representative Byron Donalds out of Florida, isn't he great? Apparently he might run for governor of Florida, or he is going to run for governor of Florida. He just lit in to these mayors, and he was trying to get answers from them. How much money are you giving to non-citizens? And some of these mayors tried not to even answer the question. So we'll get to that later in the morning.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Last night was an unmitigated disaster for the Democratic Party. They did an awful lot of damage to themselves last night. Incalculable damage to themselves. Not that I really care. That's who they are. These are the injustices that went on that most people didn't pay attention to. Last night, America saw it. Last night, you got to see the soul of that party, and it was void and empty. You don't stand for moms, and you don't stand for a 13-year-old cancer survivor. You don't stand for a kid getting into West Point. That, to me, is a party that is soulless and rudderless and visionless.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some periods of light snow through the day today, otherwise staying with cloudy skies. Accumulations generally at an inch or less around the region. High temperature readings from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect some snow showers early on as temperatures will then head back in the mid-teens to around 20. And then we'll see some sunshine return to the area Friday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlotti.
This is Derek Astreicher, Chief Legal Counsel for the Montana Family Foundation, filling in for Jeff Laszlotti. What if I told you that a Montana Supreme Court environmental case has actually benefited the pro-life movement? Let me share the story. Back in March of 2020, a group of 16 youth plaintiffs filed a lawsuit in Montana District Court to argue that the state of Montana's support of the fossil fuel industry has had an adverse impact on climate change. This case is known as the Held decision. In the Held case, these youth plaintiffs claimed, without any proof of specific harm, that Montana's contribution to climate change had deprived them of their constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment. Despite the fact that these youth climate activists lacked standing to bring the lawsuit, Lewis and Clark County District Court Judge Kathy Seeley allowed the case to proceed. On August 14, 2023, Judge Seeley issued her ruling in favor of the youth plaintiffs. The state appealed the decision, and the case made its way to the Montana Supreme Court. On December 18, 2024, the Montana Supreme Court issued its opinion on the matter. In a ruling that would only shock you if you hadn't been following the Montana Supreme Court, the justices upheld the decision of the trial court. The opinion in the Held case has far-reaching consequences. Article 2, Section 3 of the Montana Constitution guarantees all Montanans certain inalienable rights. These rights include the right to a clean and healthful environment. In the Held opinion, our Montana Supreme Court decided that the constitutional guarantee of a clean and healthful environment also includes a right to a stable climate system that sustains human lives and liberties. In other words, our Supreme Court expanded this constitutional right beyond what's written in the Constitution itself. Some might call this legislating from the bench, but I'll let you make that determination. The Montana legislature has not taken the Held decision lightly. After all, our elected leaders have all sworn an oath to defend the Constitution as part of their responsibilities. This is why Senator Teresa Manzella introduced Senate Bill 479. This is a bill that seeks to ensure that manufacturers of chemical abortion pills do not threaten our right to a clean and healthful environment. Chemical abortions, which make up roughly 60% of all abortions in the United States, are primarily self-induced at home. The result of these self-administered procedures are flushed down the toilet, which introduces various components into our water, including the endocrine-disrupting forever chemicals used in mifepristone, which is the first of two drugs used to induce chemical abortion. These forever chemicals can cause complications to individuals who are exposed to them, and they have detrimental impacts on our environment. The studies on this issue are only at the early stages, but some of the results are truly concerning. One study found that an average-sized woman who consumes water affected with mifepristone will consume the clinical dose of this dangerous drug in about 9 months. Senate Bill 479 would ensure that chemical abortion drugs are regulated to ensure proper disposal, so that our drinking water and our environment are not secondary to anyone's so-called right to an abortion. And we have good news to report. This bill has been passed by the Senate Judiciary Committee and will be debated on the Senate floor. For now, the Hell decision is a reminder that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Derek A. Stryker, reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Derek for filling in once again for Jeff with another great update. Yeah, very interesting, especially with that held decision reference in there as well. Hey, David Noble is off today. Normally he joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. So I reached out to John Jackson and said, hey, do you want to join us and give us your reaction to President Trump's speech on Tuesday night? So he's going to pop in the next hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.